Y'all, honestly, some days I'm like, look, this therapy stuff, it's too much. Like, it's too much, okay? Like, this too much. I'm like, you want me to do what? You want me to stop running, turn around, and stare my pain in the face? And I'm like, why are you trying to make me go back there? I said, I do not want to go back to that place of pain. And she said, none of us do. But she said, how do you plan to become the best you still walking around with so many deep, painful parts of you?
Hi, all. This is Amanda of The Amanda Ferguson Show, Season 2. If you are a faithful listener, thank you so much for coming back. If this is your very first time listening to me, feel free to go back to Season 1 to catch up on all of the goodness there. Here we talk about Jesus, life, family, business, and really everything in between. And if you love it, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. To stay connected to me on social media, be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Mrs. Amanda Ferguson. Now, let's get to it.
Okay, everyone, here we are, the final episode of Season 2. I don't know whether to cry, scream, jump, kick, all of that. It's been such a great season. I mean, Season 1, of course, started on my birthday. We officially launched that on my birthday, January 21st. And I wanted to really take Season 2 to just a new level. So shout out to the producer of The Amanda Ferguson Show for all of her hard work and her spirit of excellence going into the show. It has been amazing. Shout out to you all for tagging me every single week. I mean, literally, it's like every Monday when my show airs, I have so many tags and I just can't thank you enough. I really want to dive into something that I've wanted to talk about all season, which is the grace to confront. Now, you all know I have so many stories. I mean, stories literally for days, stories that I can tell over and over again. I have those stories that you're like, girl, this is too much, right? So let's dive into one of my favorite stories. It's very sentimental to me, but it's literally what catapulted me really into a season of a lot of success. So it's no secret that I have been going to therapy. I actually started Christian therapy 3 years ago. And then last year, I started it here in Dallas. And a couple of months into my therapy session, I went into my session one day and I told my therapist, I said, you know, I'm really having some issues. I was like, you know, this year I've signed a book deal. I've had a lot of success in my business. Things are picking up, you know. It sounds very exciting, but I said, I feel like I'm missing something. Like, I feel like I'm chasing after something, but I don't know what it is. And I was like, it's different because my relationship with God is very solid. I mean, I feel like I'm closer to God than I've ever been, praying and fasting and seeking Him. You know, my marriage, we're definitely in therapy together, enjoying that journey, just getting even stronger. My kids, you know, they call me their best friend. Well, you know, sometimes they get mad at me, but for the most part, they think that, you know, mommy is their best friend. And I'm like, my business is thriving. I don't know what is wrong with me. And I was like, I've started so many things this year. I just started a new t-shirt line. I wanted a new stationery line to come out last year. And I was very upset because I had been trying to find people to help me with my stationery line. And all of a sudden, this lady's house flooded. I'm like, really? How did your house flood? How did your house flood the month that we're about to do stationery designs? It has always been in my heart for a long time to have my own stationery. Because one of the things that I teach in the academy is about thank you notes and, you know, sending out thank you notes and knowing the script to write out thank you notes. So I really love very beautiful stationery. So it made sense for me to have my own stationery line. And it kind of felt like everything that I was doing to add on to my business success was just crumbling. And I was mad. I was like, I feel like I'm running with like mud on my, like I'm sinking my feet into mud. Like I can't run fast enough. And it was very irritating to me. And I just plopped on her couch and I'm like, I'm very upset. And you know, she sat there and she looked at me and very intently, you all, like I remember this day, like it's a day that I will never forget. And she said, Amanda, you said that you're chasing after something. I said, yeah. And she said, Amanda, I don't think you're chasing after anything. And I was like, yes, I am. I was like, there's something out there that I wanted. I need it. I need to go faster. Like, I need to do more. I need to do my stationery line, my t-shirt line. Like, what's happening to my t-shirts? They're on back order. What's going on? I'm freaking out. And she's like, Amanda, you're not chasing anything. And now I'm really looking at her like, does this lady hear anything I'm saying? And she said, Amanda, you are running away from something. Oh, y'all, I feel like time froze. I sat in my chair and she was looking at me very intently. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. And she said, Amanda, there are some things, some hidden hurt and pain that you're running away from, and you're chasing after these things to appease the pain in your heart. Because the pain is so unbearable for you that you're hiding yourself in your success. Whew, talking about a hammer coming down on me. And it was that moment I broke down crying because I knew that she was right. And the pain that she was talking about didn't have anything to do with friendships, didn't have anything to do with business, didn't have anything to do with my marriage or kids. It had everything to do with still family pain that I had dealt with that I had never really talked to anybody about besides my husband. But the family pain was so unbearable, you all, that I needed to do more. Oh, yes, I wasn't going to feel this pain. I was going to outrun this pain. I was going to outdo this pain. This pain was not going to catch up to me. And she said, Amanda, she said, you have a choice. She said, you can keep running, chasing the wind, because that's all you're chasing right now, because you're already successful. She said, you can keep running and chasing the wind, or you can stop running, turn around, and stare that pain in the face and deal with it. Y'all, honestly, some days I'm like, look, this therapy stuff, it's too much. Like, it's too much, okay? Like, it's too much. I'm like, you want me to do what? You want me to stop running, turn around, and stare my pain in the face? And I'm like, why are you trying to make me go back there? I said, I do not want to go back to that place of pain. And she said, none of us do. But she said, how do you plan to become the best you still walking around with so many deep, painful parts of you? And that is when everything in my life shifted. So I stopped pursuing the stationery line. I stopped working on the clothing line. I stopped doing all of the 10 other things that I was doing to prove to myself that I was successful. I was already successful. And for those of you who are listening, you're already successful. Sometimes we want success to not just prove to others, but prove to ourselves that we made it, we did it. But let me tell you something. The very fact that you are tuned into this podcast and you listen every single week is a sign that you're already successful. It's a sign that you already believe in yourself. It's a sign that you already have drive and ambition and you want the best in life. Now that's success. And I had to slow down. And so I want to give you 3 tips that I did to completely turn my life around as it relates to chasing success. And I can tell you that instead of me chasing success, success started chasing me. When I say my company, a couple of months after that, blew up and continues to blow up, I mean, I just can't even put into words. This episode is coming off of my Academy lunch, which, you know, just a few days into it is already just super duper successful. And it all came because I started the journey of confronting the very thing that I was running away from. I want to ask you, are you willing to stop running away from the painful parts of you and turn around, look it in the face, and confront it? Because it all starts with you. So I like to give you points, and usually I like to give you 3 points. So I have 3 points for you today on what I did to kind of make my transformation. Number one is super important. Sometimes you have to slow down to speed up. And I really saw that in my life where once I decided to slow down and really deal with pain and really figure out why I was doing what I was doing, it really catapulted me in a way of extreme momentum because I began to get very razor focused on one specific thing, on my main purpose, and not feeling so scattered doing 20 million things. Because I always tell people, I really feel like when I ask people, you know, what is the one thing that God has called you to do? It's usually not 30 things. It's usually one main thing. And there are other things that may come after that, but it's usually one main mission or purpose. And I got very clear on that. I got very clear on the season that I was in, that I didn't have to prove anything to anyone else or even myself. But I also got clear on the pain that I needed to allow to come to its surface. This season has all been about allowing pain and whatever, you know, is kind of hiding underneath the surface to come to the light, because that's when you begin transforming into your most wholesome self. So for me, I had to slow down to speed up. I hope you really took that note down. Number two, allow your pain to unravel in layers. Okay, allow your pain to unravel in layers. Let me give you an example. So if you've never heard my story, then you know that I was Hot Mess Express. And there are a lot of things that I didn't know how to do as a woman. Like I didn't know how to cook. Before I was 22, I couldn't boil water. I didn't even know how to make macaroni noodles. It's like, what do I, just water? Do I just put, you know, what goes in there? Like I didn't know how to do anything. I did not know how to clean up. Because I had been in a very depressed state before salvation, my room reflected the state that I was in. So my room reflected a very chaotic state. So I didn't know how to clean up. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to take great care of myself. I didn't really know how to really focus in on the woman part of me, which is why I am so passionate about the Academy. And I am so passionate about women having this safe space to be able to grow and to become with no judgment. Because whoever you are right now, I can guarantee I have been you. I have been a form of her. I have been a Hot Mess Express. I have been, you know, low confidence, low self-esteem, not knowing my purpose. And also, I have been searching for answers. So for many of you listening to me, you know, the Academy, whenever it comes back around or whatever programs that I have, it is often the answer for a lot of women. So when I got saved, I got in a real hurry about, you know, trying to learn how to cook. Trying to learn how to clean. And I remember one time when I was really hard on myself, I decided that I was going to organize my drawers, y'all. Every drawer, okay? Everyone. Y'all, I spent 6 hours reorganizing drawers. Y'all, when I was done reorganizing drawers, I'm like, oh my gosh, it doesn't look like I've done anything all day. Because all I did was reorganize drawers. Now, here's the thing. Because I wanted to go from 0 to 1,000. Now, I could have done a drawer a day. Go figure. I could have just sectioned off my life, taken maybe an hour and done my drawers. But y'all, I spent 6 hours on drawers and then I felt so defeated. As you begin to allow your pain to unravel, you know, don't become so overwhelmed and just kind of sink down in despair, feeling like you're hopeless, feeling like, you know, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this. I'm not worthy to be a wife. You may feel like I don't know how to cook. And I always tell women, you know, if you feel like you don't know how to cook, what's the best way to learn how to cook? The best way to learn how to cook is to learn one dish at a time. So I went into a full freakout zone, like, oh my gosh, I can't cook. So I'm like trying to learn how to make red velvet from scratch cakes. I'm like, hold on, you can't boil macaroni noodles. Okay, so figure that out first. Let's get the macaroni noodles right first. Then maybe make some green beans, okay? Then, you know, maybe make some chicken. You can't go from no cook to red velvet scratch cake, okay? You just, like, no. Just take one thing at a time. So as things are coming to the surface, it's okay, just like peeling back onion layers, it's okay for you to feel like, oh my gosh, I've accomplished one thing. And then what happens to a lot of people is if they feel like they've seen success in one area and then they notice pain in another area, then they start thinking, oh no, I'm still a basket case. No, you're not. You're making progress. And every time you overcome something, there are other layers that are revealed to you, and that's a good thing. And so don't feel bad about yourself if you feel like, why am I still going through healing? It's no secret that I am still going through healing of grief. So this was the first year that I've decided to give myself permission to grieve. So there are a lot of things that I've healed from depression, from overcoming molestation, the shame of that. There's so many different things that I've overcome and healed from. But this last thing of really dealing, grieving the death of my mother, that's something that I'm really going through that process now. And so I'm not going to look at my life and throw the whole thing away and say, oh gosh, Amanda, you're awful. You're still grieving your mother's death. And I don't want you to do the same thing about, I don't want you to do feel that same way about yourself either. Maybe you feel like, why am I still grieving this bad breakup? Or why can I not get over this divorce? And I just want to minister to somebody right now who is going through divorce or has gone through divorce, and you feel the need to appear okay in front of everybody. Like, give yourself space. Give yourself room to not be okay. Or the mother who recently went through a miscarriage and you just want to feel like, okay, let's move on. You know, the baby's gone. Let me move on with my life. Give yourself permission to grieve that baby. Give yourself permission to be sad. Or maybe you're single and you really want to be married and you feel bad about the desire to be married. No, it's okay to want to be married. I don't care what these single gurus out there that say, stay married to Jesus and you'll be okay. No, okay? Jesus cannot come and sleep by me at night. I want someone real. I could touch his skin. And his back and his hairy legs and everything else that comes with the man, okay? Let me be okay. It's okay. You know, I feel like sometimes the human nature part of us, we like to cut that part off of us because if it makes us feel any, you know, if it makes us uncomfortable, then we kind of want to hide that piece, that part of us. I want you to be free. So allow the pain to unravel in layers, all right? And point number three, which may be the most important of all, I want you to choose you. Let me tell you what I mean by choosing you. So last year, I had my wisdom teeth pulled out. I think I've told this story. If I haven't told this story, well, guess what? This will be your first time hearing it. And if I have, just listen again. So I had my wisdom teeth pulled out last year. I had to have it pulled out the week before Christmas. I know, crazy, right? I was in so much pain that I just couldn't bear another day with these wisdom teeth. I'm like, either you snatch it out or I'm going to snatch it out myself. So I just couldn't bear it. But we had booked dinner, Christmas dinner at the Four Seasons, which my husband loves holiday dinner there. And I was thinking, and people kept telling me that, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be able to eat by Christmas. And I'm like, are y'all sure? Y'all, I was not ready to eat by Christmas. And so I felt bad because that Christmas morning, I woke up and I started thinking about my girls, and I was like, oh, they're so little. I know they want to go out. And I still had this hole in my mouth, though, that my dentist had to put some type of gauze or something in it. And it was just very, very painful. And so every time my mouth would hit like the cold air, it would just be super duper painful. And so I went to my husband around midday Christmas Day and I said, babe, I'm sorry, but we cannot go out to dinner. I'm very sorry. Normally, you all, I would have just gone, probably cried, and then been mad. I would have been mad afterwards. Like, you knew my mouth was hurting. You made me go. And then I would have been just mad all night. But I did something different because I had been doing the work. I had been doing the work, which I decided to choose me. So I told my husband, I said, as much as I know that you want to go, I need a few days. So how about we take a rain check today and then we go on New Year's Day, you know, in a week, and we can make up for it. And then I told my girls, I said, hey, we can't go out tonight, but how about we paint our nails and like walk around in our princess dresses? And you know what? They were fine. My husband was fine. Surprisingly, it's amazing how we get this whole narrative in our mind that people would be mad at us. And my husband, as much as he was like, ooh, I wanted some of that Christmas dressing, right? As much as he was thinking to himself, and he did tell me like, you know, I would love to go, but I want you to feel better. And in my mind, I'm like, girl, you could have said something hours ago, you know, but I learned to choose myself, and my husband was super happy. It was really low key. And actually, he told me later, he said, you know, I'm happy we stayed in because, you know, it was cold outside. I was able to like get some food. And y'all, because I had not pre-planned for this, let me tell you what we ate. And y'all probably gonna be like, oh my gosh, y'all know for real, there's only one store that is open on Christmas Day. And we all know. Well, maybe two, CVS and Walgreens, right? So I hadn't gone grocery shopping because my mouth was just super, like, really hurting. I had cooked the day before, but we had eaten everything. And so, y'all, I went to, I believe, CVS and got a pizza and some lasagna. And that, my friend, is what we ate for dinner. What they ate for dinner. I still wasn't able to eat. I was still eating, like, broths and things like that, anything that was okay on my mouth. And guess what? My kids were happy with that DiGiorno Walgreens pizza. And my husband was happy with that lasagna. And I think the next day we went out as well, but they were fine. But you know what? I was most happy because I decided to choose me instead of neglecting me. Let me tell you something. You are worth choosing yourself. The Bible makes it clear, love your neighbor as yourself. I can't effectively love my neighbor if I'm not effectively loving myself. And so over this past year, I've learned to really love on myself, give myself some grace, and therefore I can really love on other people and give them the grace, the same grace that I extend to myself. But it all starts with the grace to confront. As we end this season, I want to challenge you to confront every area in your life that has been painful, that you've wanted to numb, that you haven't wanted to talk to anybody about, that you've kind of wanted to just be very hush-hush about. Those are the things that I want you to allow to come to the surface, because when you do and you really deal with that pain or that disappointment or that discouragement, that's when real growth begins to happen. And if nobody has told you this in a very long time, I want you to know that I'm proud of you. I love you and I'm cheering for you. And until season 3, stay tuned. Go back and listen to every episode. I mean, everyone all the way from season 1. And we'll see you back in a few weeks. Have a good one.